So I want us to read the scripture first. Go to Revelation chapter 4. How is everybody doing today? Good. Verse 1. It says, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear and as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and said, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God. You receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" So I want you to have that picture in your mind, the throne of God. How amazing. So think about this. An angel of the Lord comes to your house today and says, "God needs to see you. I'm about to take you to the Lord tonight or today." What would you say? How would you react? You're like, God wants to see me? Okay. How would you react to that? Would you be upset or would you be happy? Would you be worried? Would you be nervous? Imagine what's going to go through your mind, all the emotions, all the ideas, and your heart is going to be pumping blood like crazy. You're going to be like, "God wants to talk to me?" And then you're so excited. Imagine that moment, coming in front of the Almighty. You know that everybody bows down to him, and they keep saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And there's such a reverence in that room. There's such a reverence in everybody has it all clear that he is God and they're not. So it's so exciting. Imagine that. Me, personally, I'll probably be like paralyzed. I'll be like, okay, let me get on my knees. And I'll be like quiet because I wouldn't know what to say. I'll be like, why am I here, God? So I'll be awestruck. That's the word. I'll be like, why me, God? Why you want to talk to me about? See, the amazing thing is that we can come to his throne every day. Every single day we can come to his throne. He has an open door policy. He doesn't have a schedule to say, "Well, I'm busy from this time to this time, so no, don't come here." Anytime you want him, he's there for you. Even in the middle of the night, when you wake up at 3 in the morning, you're like, he's still there for you. He still wants to talk to you. In Matthew 11:28-29, it says, "Come to me, All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. God is right there for us. We just need to say, Father, and he's right there. He wants your heart to be in it. He wants you to just, gosh, I need you. I please help me. I have this situation. I have this. He wants you to come to him because, okay, moms, when my kids come from school every day, I jump on them. So how was school? So how was this? How was that? Did you have a good day? Did you, how was your test? How was, did you have a fight? Were you nice to everybody? How did it go in the bus? I mean, sometimes they just come and start telling me the whole story without me asking because I've been training them. I want to know everything about my kids. I want to know who talks to them, what they talk about, what did he say, what did she say, what happened in the bus. I want to know all the details about my kids. If I want to know all the details about my children, God wants to know everything about you. God wants you to come to him and say, Father, I have a problem. Help me. The good thing is that he just doesn't listen. He helps you fix the problem. He helps you think spiritually. You know, he's like, okay, all right, I understand you. Okay, let's see. He comes to you in your mind. He gives you the ways to think so that you can persevere. So tonight, guys, I want to talk to you about this. Connecting spiritually with God. See, the thing is that we lose connection with him very often. We pretty much, this is so essential, it's so basic, but we fall short of connecting with God regularly. And there are many reasons. You know, we can just be busy and we have a busy job, or we have so much cleaning to do, or we have so much homework to do, or there's so much to do. And then what happens? We keep pushing him and pushing him and pushing him for the end of the day. It's happened to me so many times where I said, okay, I'll do this, and then I'll get on my quiet time, and then I'll pray, and then that then never comes. And he is waiting, and he is like, I love you, I'm here waiting for you. And we're like, I'll get to you, God. I'm just let me finish this. The laundry has to get done, and then I'll sit down. Well, let me start this supper, and then I'll sit down. You know what I mean? We push him till the last minute, and sometimes we don't even talk to him. And I'm sure that doesn't make him real happy. You know, I think that affects him. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us as mothers, as wives, as students. Our teen students couldn't be here right now because they're practicing a song. But, I mean, we have campus students. We have single moms. We have, you know, everybody. Everybody here, one way or another, has pushed God to the end of the day. And sometimes you never get to it. So we have to, in order to connect to God, we have to think, not only, but I want to bring up three things that we can do. First of all, you have to know who you're talking to. Do you realize who you're talking to when you're talking to God? Those elders, they were just on the floor, bowing. How many times do we bow? You know what I mean? Those creatures with the eyes around him, they kept saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When do we talk to him? Constantly. Constantly. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just go and we wake up and say our prayer, and then we go to bed and say our prayer. But what happened to the whole day? When you're shopping, when you're cooking, when you're talking to your friends, God is there the whole time. So do you know who you're talking to? I think we forget, and It's very easy to forget. Then when we forget God, we lose reverence. We lose awe. We lose that gratitude. We lose sight of Jesus. He went through so much pain, and we sometimes don't even remember it. You know, we go back to our worldly thinking, and we forget how amazing this amazing being wants to have a relationship with you. You know what I mean? The perfect one wants to have a relationship with us. So imperfect. And then it says in Matthew 25:21, he says, come share in your master's happiness. He says, come share with me in my happiness. And we're like, I'm busy. I got things to do. And he's like, I'm here. Come to me. We forget heaven. We forget the heavenly things he offers us, the promises. We forget the forgiveness of sins. Remember when you got baptized and you were forgiven, how excited you were. You start forgetting. You start thinking, oh, this is hard. You start losing gratitude. So this is what God is majestic, guys, sisters. God is powerful. God is incredible. God is so righteous. He's glorious. The Bible has so many names for God. I'm going to name some. It says, he is the author of life, the beginning and the end. He is our counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the bread of life, the good shepherd. He is the deliverer, the faithful and true, the gentle whisper, the holy one, the I am. He's the King of Kings, the light of the world, the living water, the Lord of righteousness, the master, the merciful God, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Shepherd of our souls, and many, many, many more. Do we think about God like this? Do we say, he's my shepherd? Where's my shepherd? I need shepherding through the day. Do we think like that about him throughout the day? Do we like, God, I need you. I have a problem, or I just love you. I'm so happy, God. Thank you. Do we come to him like that? Or do we just like, with our head down all the time, thinking only of my problem or my life? We're like blinded by the life that we have, and we cause that to ourselves. Our brains cannot even comprehend that this amazing being wants to talk to us sometimes, but he does. He's so incredibly good. I'm going to read a scripture in Jeremiah 32:37. It says, this is the Message version. Watch for this. I will collect them from all the countries to which I will have driven them in my anger and rage and indignation. Yes, I will bring them all back to this place and let them live here in peace. They will be my people. I will be their God. I will make them of one mind and heart, always honoring me, so that they can live good and whole lives, they and their children after them. What's more, I'll make a covenant with them that will last forever. A covenant to stick with them no matter what and work for their good. I'll fill their hearts with a deep respect for me so they'll not even think of turning away from me. Oh, how I'll rejoice in them. Oh, how I'll delight in doing good things to them, for them. Heart and soul, I'll plant them in this country and keep them here. Do you hear his heart? He wants us. He wanted the Israelites. He wanted the Israelites to listen. He always was gathering them, and they'll be doing fine for a while, and then they'll forget him again. But we're not any different. We'll do that all the time. He wants a deep relationship with us. The Creator wants a relationship with the creation, us. He wants us. Our righteous Father has always been so willing to bless us, but we don't listen. And Psalm 81, this really touches my heart. Psalm 81:5-16, the NIV version, it says, When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statue for Joseph. I heard an unknown voice said, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress you call, and I rescue you. I answer you out of the thunder, out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign God among you. You shall not worship any God other than me. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to the stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock, and I will satisfy you. God wants us. He says, you don't listen to me. Listen to me. I will bless you. I got so many great things for you. I'm the Lord God Almighty. Almighty, I got everything. Everything is mine. I know everything in your life. I know how your life is going to turn out. Come to me. I can give you the advice you need. I can bless you. But we're just so busy. We get so busy with life that we forget eternity. If we don't change that, we're going to miss the opportunity to go to heaven because we're just right here. This is my life. It's way more than that. It's like eternity. But we're like, oh, I got so much to do. You know what I mean? And then we give the priority to every other thing in our life. We think that the kids are first, that the husbands are first, and then the job is first because my boss is asking me for this. And, yeah, God can wait. And then the sports take priority over God. And then hobbies take priority over God. And then we keep pushing him to the end, and he's like, if you would just listen to me, I will bless you. So we need to not be blinded because God loves us. Another thing that happens in our walk with God is Satan is always after you. He doesn't rest. He is self-centered. He is arrogant. He is prideful. He wants power and authority, but not submission to God. He wants power to destroy what God has created. And he, in Ezekiel 28:17, it says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. That's Satan. And then Isaiah 14:12-15 says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You have once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. This is Satan. He wants to destroy us. He's like so arrogant. He says, I'll be like the Most High. He wants to be like God. That's why he got cast down to heaven. And he was the most beautiful being. And his God said, no, we're not going to do that. You're going to go to the pit, to the realm of the dead, because you're being arrogant. You're being prideful. You're being self-centered. Who does that remind you of? You know what I mean? Don't we act like that sometimes? Don't we think that it's all about us sometimes? We don't want to fall into the same situation that Satan did. We want to be blessed. We want to listen. I was thinking about so opposite of Jesus. Jesus was in heaven. He was perfect. You know, he had everything. And because of sin that came into the world, we got separated from God. And there's something had to be done. Something had to be done so that we can be reunited with God. So God had a plan, and he said, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send my son to the world and rescue them. He's going to be their savior. And what did he say? Jesus says, okay, I will. He was willing to leave heaven and everything in there to come to the world to rescue us. So opposite of Satan. Satan wanted to be above God, and he wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to be prideful. Jesus said, sure, I'll go. And on Gethsemane, when he was praying in Gethsemane, and he was, you know, sweating drops of blood, he could have said, no, give me the 12 legions of angels. This is too much. But he didn't say that. He said, if you will, I'll do it. And he was like, Lord, if it's possible, just take this cup away from me. He's like, but if you don't think so, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. What a submission. What a willingness. He has something in his heart. Willing. He was so willing to fight for this. And it was us. And we forget to pray. And we forget to read our Bibles. And we get so ungrateful. And he went through so much. And we're like, later, God, when I finish all this stuff I have to do. So I want us to think like that. Very real. Satan is after you constantly. And you don't even realize. Because you're busy cleaning. You know what I mean? We're in a spiritual battle. And we sometimes don't see that. I'm talking about me too. I mean, I've done that. Recently, my husband and I went to Destin, Florida for spring break. And we didn't visit any family. We didn't visit anybody we know because we wanted us, just the four of us, just go there, go to the beach, go to sleep, go eat, go to the beach, go to the pool. You know, we didn't want to do anything. And it was hard for me not to do anything. I would get up in the morning. I'd be like, I have to read my Bible. My kids were, you know, they're big enough that they can serve themselves cereal. So I didn't have to even serve them breakfast. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my quiet time. I would make coffee, sit on the bed, and start reading my Bible every day. And then there was nothing to think about. I didn't have to go do laundry. I didn't have to go, you know, when the dishes pile up, I had to put them in the dishwasher, and that's about it. And then one day when I saw all the towels kind of dirty, I was like, all right, I have to do laundry. I have to do something. So I managed to do 3 loads one day. But that was it. I had so much free time and so much time to think about God. I mean, I purposely said I am not going to think about anybody in the church. I was like, I am just going to focus on my family and God first. And I would call my kids. I said, come on, guys, we're going to do a devotional. At first, they wouldn't do it. Oh, again, we have to do that again. And then, yes, we do. And as the days went by, it was getting better and better and better. And then John took over the last 2 days. And then he did the cross study with them. So I was like, wow, okay, amen. But we were in the Bible. We were talking to God. We were praying. I was looking at the water. So beautiful. And I was like, God made all this. God made that heaven. God made all those birds. We were feeding the seagulls, giving them crackers, and they were all over us. I was like, wow, God made all this. But I tried to think about him so much during that time because I wanted that connection to happen. I didn't want to spend a whole week doing nothing and not think about God. So I used that week to connect. I used that week to talk to him. I used that week to teach my children. I just relaxed and thought about God constantly. And that feeling you get when you're with God, when you're just connected with him, you feel peaceful. You feel like he loves me. I love him. We're like the best friends ever. You feel so happy and nothing bothers you. You know, there's a mess in the room and you're like, oh, whatever, you know. That's just, you know, I'm on vacation. And it was so refreshing to be close to God. But then we had to come back, you know. Vacation is only a few days. And then I had to continue my connection with him. I couldn't just say, okay, I'm busy again. Talk to you later. No, I had to make myself go to him every day because it's so easy to forget him. Another thing we have to think of, guys, is you don't have an excuse. There's no excuse. He did everything for you. Everything has been done for you. You are set for success, pretty much. He said, okay, my son, he didn't even spare his son. My son will go down there and he's going to die for your sins. Your sins. He's going to die for your sins. You just have to listen to him. Okay, so besides that, he says, I'm going to open up your eyes so you can understand the truth. So I'm giving you my son and I'm going to allow you to understand my Bible. Besides that, he increases your faith by all the miracles he does in your life. From the time you became a disciple, there's so many things he's done in your life. But we forget. Another thing he does is he forgave your sins. Your sins don't count against you no more. Your sins are forgotten. He says, okay, I'm going to forgive your sins because I love you so much. And I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And I'm going to give you a church that's going to help you to stay close to me. And I love you. What excuse do we have not to go to God in prayer, not to get into his Bible? What do we have? If we miss heaven, it's your fault. If you one day, when your day comes or Jesus comes back, you can say, oh, but no, you had it all. There's no excuse. The Bible is there. The church is there. Everybody's there willing to help you. Jesus died for you. What else do we have? Ephesians 1:3 says, let me find it then. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every, not most of them, every spiritual blessing in God, in Christ. What excuse do we have not to go to God? You know what I mean? He even gave you that job that you have. He even gave you those 3 children or 4 children you have. He gave you the husband you have, the house that you clean constantly. That he gave you everything. But we are so ungrateful. We just start thinking, I got things to do. I'll talk to you later. And that's so wrong. You know, I want to encourage you to not let the worries of this world rob you from the most amazing relationship that you can ever have. God is the most amazing relationship you can ever have. Have the right perspective. Think beyond what you can see. Think of heavenly things. Don't think of cooking or going to work. Think beyond that. Think eternal stuff. Think heavenly things. like God wants you to think. Don't be consumed with your day-to-day things to do. Think of God. Have determination and focus to fight for this. It's a spiritual battle. If you don't fight for this, you will miss heaven. It's a fight. You cannot just go day-to-day just like nothing. It's a spiritual battle. Make that daily decision. Connect with God on a daily basis. Keep your eyes on the cross and be grateful that Jesus died for you. Think of his pain. Everything he went through, he wants you to think about that. His blood is calling you to listen, to answer to him. Don't waste your life going crazy, doing so many things. Don't waste your life. Imagine one day when Jesus comes back and you'll be like, Jesus, I did everything. I gave you my heart. I gave you my soul. Jesus, I'm so happy because I'm going to have you. Or would you be like, Jesus, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. You know, what is going to be your answer? Are you going to be so excited and happy that you listened and didn't waste your time? You know, like the dogs go around chasing their tails sometimes. Are you going to be doing that, or are you going to focus and be determined to follow that? Satan, he just wants you to look down. He just wants you to forget that there is a God. Pretty much he wants to erase God from your head, from your mind. He wants you to be busy, disillusioned, trapped, unhappy, unable to see the truth. Are you fighting back? Or are you just giving it to him very easily? He wants to confuse us. He twists everything. He minimizes God in your mind. He makes you doubt out of his power and his love. You know, do you believe all that? Or are you so strong in your Bible that you're like, oh, get away from me. You're wasting your time with me. Are you fighting Satan with scriptures like Satan did? I mean, like Jesus did in the desert. Are you fighting him with scriptures? Are you fighting him in prayer? Or are you making it very easy for him to take you to hell? It happens every single day. If we're not in our Bibles daily, it's not going to happen. It is a daily battle. And we have to pray. Pray by ourselves, pray with other people, pray with your children, pray with your husband, pray with your friends, pray with your roommate, pray. Pray is talking to him and asking him, Lord, you know, I am thinking weird, or my mindset is not right, or I'm having this issue, or I don't like this sister, or she hurt my feelings, or God help me. He's so willing to hear anything you have to say. He's so willing to help you fix it, you know, to pretty much give you the right mentality about how to deal with it. Sometimes I'm just thinking, and boom, scriptures come up in my head. I teach the teens scriptures. And as I'm teaching the studies, things come up in my head. Thoughts come up in my head. Ideas come up in my head, and I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that. It's God working through me. It's God giving me the scripture or giving me the thought or giving me whatever that girl needs to know. And are you so in tune with God? Is your life so in tune with God that you can hear him when he's talking to you? It's not an audible voice. It's a thought. And many times, I remember one time I was in a class with the teen girls, and I was about to say something, and I said, oh, man, that scripture. And I opened the scriptures, and it was right on the page that I needed it. I said, oh, my gosh, this is it. And I was so excited, and I told them, this is the scripture that I wanted to share, and I opened it right there. And they were like, really? I'm like, yes, God talks to you. God guides you. He gives you the scriptures. He gives you the mentality that you need to have. But we don't go to him. We pretty much, we take him for granted. We don't think that he can because of our actions. You know what I mean? We can say, Lord, I love you, I love you. But you don't talk to him. You don't go to him. You don't give him your, you know, your problems so that he can guide you. I'm not saying you guys, it's all of us. And this is like a sickness, like something that's going to keep us out of heaven. And we need to fight it on a daily basis. We as women, we get so much noise. Even if we don't have things to do, even if we're sitting, there's noise. There's a lot of noise and a lot of, it's like it's so hard to calm our mind. But I've been learning so much, and I thank so much Lisa Washington because she's been like a mentor to me and helping me calm my mind when she used to teach me yoga. It was so weird for me because she used to say, breathe like this. I'm like, really? And it's supposed to sound like the sea, and I'm like, oh, okay. It was weird to hear her teaching me about how to breathe and all that stuff so I can calm down. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then as I learn, I like it. I want to do it. It gives me peace. You know, it connects me with God. It helps me to have a straight connection. I'm in the throne. I'm like walking to the throne and saying, hi, God, I want to talk to you. You know, imagine, picture it. Have this image in your mind so that when you come to him, you are so engaged and focused and willing to just leave everything on the floor right there. I want my friend Lisa to come and share with us how she gets close to God, because she is amazing in this area. And also, she's going to pray for us at the end. But this is what I wanted to share with you. First of all, remember who you're talking to. You're talking to the Almighty God. Second, don't forget Satan is after you constantly. Don't think that he's not good enough to get you distracted. He will do that every single time he has the opportunity, that you give him the opportunity. And remember that you don't have an excuse. God gave you everything that you need to go to heaven. If we don't make it there, it's our fault. Jesus died. He suffered for you. What else? What are you going to do? He did it all. You know, give him time. Help. Let him help you. He wants you with him one day in eternity. So at this time, I want Lisa to come and share with us. And then she's going to pray for us at the end.
Thank you so much, Marissa Bell. I'm a little taller with these heels on. I really appreciate your message. I think the two things that you said that stuck out to me is that we can be awestruck by God every day. And I think that's what it is about meditating and quieting your mind, is to get in that place where you can be awestruck by God every day. Me and God had breakfast this morning at Mimi's, and it's so wonderful when you can, like, take deep healing breaths while you're having breakfast with God, and then I'm starting to cry, and the waitress is like, okay, are you all right? Well, me and God, we're just connecting here, you know. But it's that simple of just quieting your mind and staying focused on God and not talking to him. A couple of things I do. My favorite scripture is, be still and know that I am God, which is Psalms 46:10. And I love this scripture because it's two, God's saying two things you have to do. Be still and then know that I'm God. And I kind of like that because God's like, be still and know I'm God. I'm the one. And so that's what it means for me to really quiet my mind and watch God be God in my life and my situations. And the way I do, I have several things. You guys probably see stuff I say on Facebook and stuff like that about what I'm doing. But my time, my meditation time usually take 2 hours. So I'm going to kind of bring it down to like 15, 20 minutes. And what I do is I wake up in the morning, I have my tea time with me and God. And I have people who've been in my house often, like Christy, I have 4 meditation places, and I actually had a meditation gazebo built in my backyard, and my neighbor's like, what is that? But that's where I go, and I sit, and I meditate, and the sun is like perfect, and the trees is hanging over it, so I get a chance to really quiet my mind and just be with God. And then once I have that tea time, I do yoga, and my yoga, it's for physical exercise, it keeps me in shape, but it's where I really connect with God, because I can breathe, I can thank him for my arms and my breath and my legs and about everything. Like, whatever I'm doing, God is within that. The other thing I do is I do a lot of deep breathing. And I took, you know, I've been doing it for 12 years, and it does take some training to do that. It does sound a little weird, but scientifically and medically, it does calm you down, and it clears your mind because you put your attention on your breathing. And the question that I usually ask God when I get to that place, I just say, what is it you want me to know? I take a deep healing breath in through my nose. You exhale it out of your nose. And I do this several times, about 10 times. And my mind is completely quiet. And I say, God, what is it you want me to know? And I just get really quiet. And if something comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I just want to be there with God. That is it. Because constantly we're asking God for stuff, do this. And you need to do that. But sometimes, like, what does God want to say? I'm sure when we get with him, he wants to say something. And he'll give me a scripture. I was going through a lot of some challenges spiritually, and I was asking God constantly on the dime, dear God, what is it you want me to know? And I would just go in my meditation room, and I would just take some deep breaths and say, God, what is you? And he would give me scripture. Or he'll tell me somebody you need to call, or you need to, but she's right. He does speak to us. I think the other thing is, I think it's not just about quieting your mind and clearing things out with meditation. It is about surrendering. Another thing I ask God, I'll say, God, I will tell God I'm here now. And you kind of say, okay, yeah, I'm here now. But it's really a surrender. When they told me I had to be on dialysis, instead of freaking out about being on dialysis, I took a deep healing breath in and out, and I said, God, I'm here now. In that truth that I was going to be on dialysis, and possibly I could, but in it and surrendering and letting him move me through that truth. You know, I thought about when my brother was murdered. I remember the day of his funeral, the funeral home called us and they said, oh, we can't have the funeral because your sister didn't pay the money, so we'll have to postpone your brother's funeral. And I went on the back of my gazebo and I sat there and I took some deep healing breaths and I said, God, I'm here now. This is where I'm at. And God said, don't worry about it. I got it. I'm going to take care of it. And so I put my little black dress on and God came in. A sister who is very well off said, here's a check. Go bury your brother, honor your brother. But it's about surrendering too, is being still and just saying, God, I am here now. And the second question I ask is, what is it you want me to know? And so I don't know if that's, those are some of my practicals of what I do. But then there's one thing I do for you guys who would like to try is that twice a month I do a day of silence. And I'm silent for 8 hours. I don't speak to anybody, no calls. People already know it. I put it on Facebook. I get back to you after 4 o'clock. And I'm literally, I don't say anything. I don't speak. I silently pray, and I just listen to God. I go out and listen to his music, which is the squirrels and the birds and the trees and the wind rustling and stuff like that. Or I take meditation walks, and I just tell him, oh, man, that's really cool. In my mind, that's really awesome. I wonder how you did that. But just being with God. So I hope that helps a little bit. But that's what I do. And let's just pray. Okay, you guys ready? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you and to be still. God, I pray that every woman in this room would just take a deep healing breath, God, and just allow themselves just to be here now, to be in your wonderful and amazing and incredible presence. Just being with you right now is awestrucking, God. You are. It's just who you are. And I pray that we're this way every single day. I pray that every day we will bask in your beauty and just how magnificent and fabulous you are. And that we'll just be silent. I pray, God, that like Marissa Bell said, that we would know that you are the best friend that we could ever have in any situation, God. God, I know the friends I have in my life, and I go to them, and I get advice, and I talk to them. But so many times, God, we don't go to you. We don't go and say, I need to talk to my best friend. And you're there to be with us and to comfort us. Just like my girlfriends will say, girl, I love you. You awesome. Or no, you need to change that or whatever. God, you're there to do that even more because you have the power to change us. You have the power to make us what we need to be. You have the power to transform us into the likeness of your son through that process, God, which can be very challenging sometimes. So I pray, God, for the women in this room, God, that we will go and we will just be still. And, Father, I pray that we would know that you are God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.